Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children. You are listening to the best podcast called Pop Culture Man Children. I am your host, Mike Quinjono. I am here with my return guest, Nadia Cater. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're happy to be here. I'm happy to have you here. You know, the folks at home, they can subscribe to Pop Culture Man Children by going to Stitcher or to Apple Music or Spotify or even Google Play. We're all over the internet. Plus, get this, Nadia, we also have a Pop Culture Man Children Tumblr, and we're at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram.
Oh, that's where all the young kids are.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I invited you here today.
Thank you.
To talk about a very important television program, and that is Gravity Falls from Disney XD.
The most popular Disney channel.
You know what, though? They do good work. I like the Star Wars show. Disney XD, it's good. It's given Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon run for their money.
Honestly, I've never watched Disney XD. I watched Gravity Falls through streaming.
Yeah, I watched all of Gravity Falls through Hulu not that long ago. So it's sort of fresh to me. You suggested it to me.
I suggested it to you multiple times. And I was so, when you told me, like, yeah, I'm just going to watch Gravity Falls, I was so excited.
Yeah.
Not that I thought you would invite me to the podcast to talk about it, but I was like, oh, I can finally talk to someone about this.
How long have you been a fan of it?
It's been like 2 years.
Really?
It's such a short series, only 2 seasons.
It's like a British series almost. It does what it's got to do and then it's done. No fucking around.
I mean, that's the closest I think an American show can get to a British series, because it's still 40 episodes.
Yeah.
Which Britain does not do. They'll do like 12 and like, oh, that's more than enough. Or they'll do Doctor Who and just have like...
Right. It's either extreme. It's either we're going to do 5 of these or we're going to do 35 seasons of these. Well, for anyone who's listening that has never watched Gravity Falls, I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary. Gravity Falls is an animated series by Alex Hirsch, who also does a lot of the voices. And it is about two 12-year-old twins, Dipper and Mabel Pines. For the summer, their parents send them to the mysterious Gravity Falls, Oregon, to stay with their great uncle Stan in his tourist trap, which is called the Mystery Shack, which I believe is based on a real tourist attraction in Oregon. At least that's what I've read. And it's filled with Stan's, which they call him Grunkle Stan because he's their great uncle. So Grunkle Stan's Mystery Shack is filled with all of these fake things like a Sasquatch, but it's really just like a cat glued to like a doll and like all sorts of fake stuff. But ironically, outside of the Mystery Shack, actual Gravity Falls is a hub of
paranormal.
Yeah, everything from aliens to ghosts to goblins to dwarfs to unicorns, all of those live in the woods of Gravity Falls.
Don't forget the buffalo men.
Oh, yeah, the very manly men. There's an episode where Dipper wants to become more manly, and he goes and hangs out with the buffalo men. They try to teach him how to be a man. To become a man, his final task is he has to kill the multiple bear, which is just like a bear with 5 heads or something like that.
It's like, it's actually even better than just a bear with 5 heads. It's a bunch of bear bodies put together. Like, like if there was just some cloning mishap and there was just 8 bears got stuck together.
Yes, so yes.
They're just like flailing limbs and a bunch of heads. You don't really know where the multi-bear like starts and ends.
One of the things that's really brilliant about Gravity Falls, and I think really unique for a show that is, you know, children's programming, is that it's almost like Arrested Development, where if there's a joke or a funny reference, they'll just keep referencing it and making that joke throughout the rest of the series. And you're really rewarded if you remember things and if you rewatch things, because it doesn't really treat the audience like they're dumb. It treats the audience with respect, and it assumes that you're paying attention and looking for clues. And, you know, the show itself is very mysterious and it's filled with all sorts of clues and stuff.
And there's just limitless possibilities of what could be in these woods.
Yeah.
So, like, we have these Minotaur men, which, by the way, was a really great commentary on sort of toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Without having the danger of something weirdly sexual happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, like, how to be manly, how to be strong and tough and hairy, and, like,
right.
they were, like, gluing hair on Dipper's chest so right. he could seem like a man. Also, like, the Sasquatch thing, which I kind of hope that they would be, like, a real Sasquatch.
Yeah, I don't think they... A real Sasquatch.
No.
There is an episode where we meet a Gremoblin. It's half gremlin, half goblin. And when you look in its eyes, it shows you your greatest fear. And Dipper brings it into the Mystery Shack, and two tourists look at it, and then you just see them being wheeled out by a ambulance. And he's like, well, I think I just drove two people insane.
Yeah, it was just, it was a great cutaway joke.
Yeah.
Because something that dark and evil can very easily be like a main villain, but that was just a joke.
Yeah.
Of like Dipper's paranormal excitement being taken too far.
I bet a little kid can like really like lose some sleep over that. Like, what did they see? Oh my God. You know, imagining what these grown-ups saw that freaked them out. Let's talk about some of the characters. So our main characters are the Mystery Twins. Dipper, real name Mason.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pines. They call him Dipper because under his bangs, he's got a birthmark that looks like the little Dipper on his forehead. Which I think is kind of a Harry Potter joke.
Yeah, that could be.
And then his twin sister Mabel, who's voiced by Kristen Schaal, who's also the voice of, what's the character from Bob's Burgers? The one with the
Louise.
Funny ears. Louise. She's, no one has ever been more born to be a cartoon voice than that woman. And she's great on it. And Dipper is played by, what's his name? What's his first name?
Isn't it Jason Ritter?
Jason Ritter, right. The son of John Ritter. And then we've got, working at the Mystery Shack, we've got Wendy, who is voiced by Linda Cardellini. She was from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, okay.
She plays Wendy, who is older. They don't tell you exactly her age, but she's a teenager. Dipper has a big crush on her. I would guess she's like 16, maybe.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 15 or 16, because she's old. She has this kind of wisdom about her. Like,
yeah.
Herself, where it's like, she very obviously can tell that Dipper likes her, but Dipper is 12.
Yeah.
But she handles it really maturely.
Yeah.
And just talks about how, like, you know, I'm too old for you, but I really, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
And I think she handled it the best possible way. So it's like, she can't be too young. But she also likes to play pranks and hang out in a haunted convenience store with her buddies, which
yeah.
is not something you do when you're 30. So
yeah.
she gets to be, like...
And
16?
In some ways, you know, forgetting all the supernatural elements, you know, one way to read the show is it's about these 12-year-olds who are spending the summer somewhere else without their parents. And her friends kind of are like the group of cool older people. And he wants to hang out with them and be older. One of the themes in the show is that Mabel loves being youthful and crazy and silly. And she loves having sleepover parties and doing arts and crafts. And she doesn't want to grow up, where Dipper very much wants to grow up. And that's where Mabel and Dipper have tension between one another. And he'll want to go and hang out with Wendy and her friends, where Mabel will want to hang out with her friends, Grenda and Candy.
Grenda.
Grenda is a big girl who talks like a man's with a man's voice. It's pretty... problematic joke, but it's funny.
Yeah, it's I felt like the main joke about Grenda is that she's always so gruff and intense.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boys! And you're like, oh.
Yeah, she'll like punch you in the face when she's excited.
Yeah, but you know what I appreciate the show doing is that they didn't have Grenda kind of like, which I feel like in a lot of animation shows in the past where like the heavier set girl will always be like kind of boy crazy.
Yeah.
Or like really try hard and boys don't like her because she's big and, you know, gross or
yeah.
whatever. But like on this show, they actually had a prince fall in love with her later on
right.
the season. So it was, and she just seemed like, you know, she didn't care.
Right. And they referenced them continuing to talk to each other throughout the rest of the series after that. So her and the prince, it worked out. Also at the Mystery Shack, we have the handyman who is sort of a gentle giant kind of simpleton named Seuss.
Short for Jesus.
Yes, yes. And he lives with his grandma. And he's got, because the Mystery Shack's sort of symbol is a question mark, he has a question mark. He always wears a question mark t-shirt. And he calls everybody dude.
He's like, dude.
Yeah. In the pilot, the first thing he says is, Uncle Stan says to Mabel and Dipper, I want you to go out and put these flyers on every tree in the forest. And Seuss goes, I don't think I could do that. And he's like, no one asked you, Seuss. And he's like, I'm okay with that. He's very aware of his shortcomings, but he loves himself.
Yeah, there's something really sweet about Seuss.
Yeah.
He does love himself, and he knows he has some like social issues, which could have very easily been a running joke on Sour, like not having a father and just like seeing Grunkle Stan as the father figure. That could have very easily been like done to death, but there's just enough of it for it to be like kind of funny and sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I think one thing I want to say to anyone who hasn't watched it yet is, you know, despite what we were saying about like Seuss and Grenda and all of this stuff, like I'd say the show is not at all mean-spirited. The show is very, very sweet. I think Mabel is the heart of the show. And I think Mabel sort of shows that like when you do good things happen to you.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways that it's very different from the show Rick and Morty. And I only bring that up because the fandom of Rick and Morty and the fandom of Gravity Falls are very interrelated, because the creator of Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, appears on Gravity Falls as a recurring character, and the animators from both shows have made nods and references to each other. And there's some nerds believe that they take place in the same universe, but I just think it's homaging each other. I don't think they take place in the same narrative universe. Doesn't make sense to me, because Rick's universe is so nihilistic and pointless and cruel, and the universe of Gravity Falls, although has, you know, the same kind of magic and paranormal stuff, is very sweet and kind.
Just to be sort of a devil's advocate here, if Rick and Morty takes place over the course of infinite universes, this could very possibly be the sweet Rick and Morty universe that we haven't seen yet.
That's true.
I'm not saying I necessarily believe that. I'm just saying, like, because that show has that built into it, it's a possibility.
Right. Anything can fit.
And with
and there's multiple universes in Gravity Falls too. We don't see them, but we know that there are them, because one of the characters who comes in later on in season two has spent a lot of time in another universe.
Yeah, which was a dark and chaotic universe.
Right. And it's interesting that they never show you what that universe looked like.
Which I wonder if that's because this was a Disney Channel show, or because it's just like it's not necessary. Because we don't really need it.
It's a real feast for the eyes. I mean, every episode you're going to come across some sort of really interesting character design. You know, just to give you the pilot, right? In the pilot, Mabel's boy crazy, and she goes out with a boy who her brother Dipper begins to think is a zombie, because Dipper has found this journal written by an unknown author, and the author of the journal studied Gravity Falls and all its odd mysteries. So there's a page in the journal about what a zombie is and what a zombie looks like and how to tell a zombie and how to defeat a zombie. This matches the description of the boy who's dating his sister, and in the end, he runs to his sister, who's in the forest with this guy, and he jumps on him and grabs him, but it's not a zombie. He unzips his coat, and what is it?
It's a bunch of gnomes standing on top of each other.
It's like five gnomes standing on top of each other. The one on the top speaks, and then the others are the legs and the arms.
Which was a really great send-off to an old-timey joke.
Yeah, like
the two kids in the trench coat.
Yeah. It's supernatural but silly and not dangerous all at once, because the gnomes, they want to make her their queen, but they also are so easily defeated, because they just, like, she defeats them with a leaf blower. I think it's actually a really brilliant pilot.
it's a very strong pilot. I also love that the entire episode was really geared you towards thinking that this guy was a zombie. At one point, he puts his arm around Mabel, and Dipper notices that his hand falls off, and he picks it up and just, like, puts it back in the sleeve, and you're like...
Yeah.
And he just grumbles all the time, like, he just talks like, okay.
Right. Right, because the diary says, zombies are very hard to distinguish from teenagers. They'll wear hoodies, and they'll grumble, and they won't stand up straight. Which is a funny bit.
I gotta say, what was really uncomfortable about that was that Mabel is obviously, like, a little girl. And, like, the gnomes stacked on top of each other looked like a teenage boy.
But when we see them reveal themselves, they have white beards. So they're quite old.
Except the head one, who has a brown beard that he covered with the hoodie.
Oh, right.
Which is actually pretty smart. So he was, like,
those
the youngest.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing when they're trying to kidnap their queen.
Yeah. And they do eventually form, like, a gnome king where they come together, like a rat king, and become one giant gnome.
It's like a Gundam.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Let's talk about some of the interesting things in terms of animation. Typically, animation, you have characters with four fingers. But some characters have four fingers, and some characters have five fingers. And then there's even one particular character... The writer of the journal has six fingers, and that's part of their story, that they have six fingers. But if you look just at the main cast, like Dipper and Mabel have four fingers. I think Seuss has five fingers. It's very weird.
You know, I
you never noticed
I
that?
I never noticed that. Now I'm going to go home later and check it out. But I wonder if the animators kind of do that to mess with you.
Oh, I wonder too, yeah. Because there's a scene where Wendy's like, give me a high five to Dipper, but it wouldn't be called a high five because he only has four fingers. Another thing that I think is really unique to animation is with typical animation, you design a character and that's that character's design. So, and that makes it much easier to animate. But Mabel's design changes every episode. Mabel is famous for making her own exuberant sweaters. Sometimes they light up. Sometimes they've got unicorns on them. Sometimes they have a joke that's particular to that story. She always makes them herself. And every episode, she has a different sweater. I think the only one that repeats is the one from the very first episode, which has a rainbow on it.
Yeah.
But that alone is the kind of thing that becomes a real headache for animators, but adds such a rich detail to the show that she's not dressed the same every single day.
All the other characters are, which is kind of funny.
Which
about
is normal.
That.
Yeah.
Which is like Wendy wears the same outfit every day that summer.
Yeah, Wendy has long red hair and like a little cap, and she's got
it's a hunter's cap, actually. Yeah. She looks like what we would on the East Coast called hipster, but she's dressed like someone who lives in Oregon. Like jeans, a plaid shirt, and black boots that I would say are Doc Martens. And I would argue with you is that Wendy is a lesbian.
Okay, let's get into that.
So, as a queer person...
This is your reading of it.
This is my reading of it. So, for queer people, up until very recently, we never had characters to look up to. And that's just a reality. It's like, you're either a villain, or you're gay and you're dead, and, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So...
You're tragic, or something like that.
Yeah,
if you're
bullshit.
Transgendered, you're murderous, like Norman Bates.
Exactly. So, you don't really have characters. So what you do is you look for characters that can be sort of queer reading.
Yeah.
So, like, another example would be Daria from the show Daria, because she just has this kind of disdain for the world. And a lot of, like, lesbians that I've met would, you know, say, like, Velma or Daria were like...
Yeah, I've heard the Velma thing a lot.
Yeah, because they just don't seem that interested in guys.
Yeah.
There are... I mean, Daria did have, like, a boyfriend briefly, but... Every lesbian I know had a boyfriend in high school. But even Wendy has a boyfriend.
Right.
But so my reading about Wendy is that, you know, there are the stereotypes. She's very outdoorsy. She doesn't like to dress up. All her friends are male, except for one girl that hangs out in the group. Her running joke is that she's just always on her phone. And no one actually interacts with her. She's just on her phone. So she responds to people, like, on the texting.
Yeah, and she dates a boy... Robbie, but there's no real indication that she likes him at all.
Exactly. That I thought you were going to bring up Robbie, but that was the point I was going to, you know, combat you with.
Yeah.
Is that she doesn't seem to like Robbie. Robbie asks her out, and she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they just spend time together, but it doesn't seem like she really likes him in that way. Because he was part of their friend group.
Yeah.
So it's basically when they're dating, it's like she's just hanging out with one of her friends.
Right, right.
Which, again, I would argue every lesbian had a boyfriend like Robbie.
Okay.
I had a high school boyfriend like Robbie.
You had a Robbie?
Yeah, except he wasn't as, like, sour. And
he wasn't TJ Miller? Who voices Robbie?
TJ Miller is horrible. But
oh, I think everyone listening knows that.
Every person is, he's just a terrible person. Yeah, but Robbie's whole thing is he basically looks like he got everything he owns from Hot Topic.
Yeah.
And it's just
super,
like,
tight pants.
He's very emo. Yeah, like that was a thing when I was in high school. And he's also like kind of a bummer. He's just like, "Oh, this is stupid," all the time. Where Wendy wouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Since we're talking about Robbie, there's a fan theory that you'll see in Reddit and even like all over YouTube that Robbie's a zombie. It's never said outright in the show that Robbie's a zombie, but there are clues throughout the show. One, Robbie has a hoodie and he actually looks just like the description of a zombie in the journal that we see in the first episode, which Dipper thinks that the gnomes are a zombie. Also, Robbie's parents are morticians and he lives in a funeral home. He wears all black, and his hoodie has, like, a broken heart on it, which could represent death or whatever.
Which was also a very popular Hot Topic item when I was in high school.
That's true.
That was the thing. I think it was, like, a Green Day thing. Like,
yeah. Oh, yes, that's true.
Robbie seems to be very aware of his mortality. Like, he gets scared. And he runs away. Where I feel like if he was a part of the undead, he wouldn't be so afraid.
But there's an episode where he gives Wendy an enchanted CD. And it's never explained how he got that power or how he has that connection to the paranormal.
Do you have a favorite sort of supernatural creature in this universe?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked it. I don't know. What's my favorite supernatural creature? Do you have one?
So that's tough. I gotta say, I really enjoyed the reading of the unicorn because unicorns have this kind of mystical and very feminine sort of idea about them.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, unicorns are boring. Yes. I'm not really that interested. That's all we ever see, right? But then like on this show, the unicorn was just kind of a dick.
Right. The unicorn is sort of speaking with this hello voice and you think like, oh, that's a unicorn. And then you see other unicorns and like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, are you like, you realize like that unicorn's just pranking Mabel.
And just being weird.
Yeah, and that's not even their voice.
Yeah, it's just like, I need one pure of heart. And it's just like, it's just kind of a jerk. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
In a different show, which I can also see kind of blending in a weird way. I would think of Regular Show. Do you remember the episode with the unicorns?
No, I don't remember that one.
So Regular Show is about anthropomorphic animals working in a park. So it's like a raccoon and a blue jay, and they run into this bad crowd of unicorns. And the unicorns are basically like frat bros. So they're like in a Jeep, and they're really loud, and they, I mean, it's a kid's show, so they don't show them drinking, but it's clear that they're, like, intoxicated.
Yeah.
So they're just, like, egging each other on and doing pranks, and they're just being jerks. So my thing is, like, if you can do a unicorn in an interesting way, I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing would be, I like the unicorns a lot, tied with the multi-bear. Why do I like the multi-bear? It's because I don't know what it is, and they don't explain it to you. It makes no sense. It's just, like, a multi-bear who likes Icelandic pop.
Right, Baba. They call it Baba instead of Abba. Okay, I think I have an answer to your question.
Great.
I think my favorite supernatural character is the Summerween monster.
Oh, that's made of bad candy?
Yeah, I forget the character's exact name. It's like the Summerween something.
So it's just an excuse for the show to have a Halloween episode?
Right, even though it takes place in the summer. It's actually kind of scary looking. It kind of has a sort of Slender Man feel. It's long, has very long limbs, and it has like a dark head but with a yellow smiley face on it. And Mabel and Dipper have to give him 600 pieces of candy before the night's over or he'll like eat their souls. But then, as you said, what we find out in the end is the monster's made out of the bad candy at the bottom of the trick-or-treat bear that nobody likes. All of those were being thrown out into the dump in Gravity Falls, and they sort of congealed and became this living monster.
Yeah, it's basically like all your Mary Janes, Squirrel Nut Zippers, and Root Beer Barrel, like, yeah, candies. Just
black licorice.
Black licorice all come together and became like an evil, angry creature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a bitter and out for revenge on children. Like, yeah. It was good. It was very good.
And it's defeated by Seuss eating him. Because Seuss will eat anything. All candy is good to Seuss.
That's true.
So one thing we haven't talked about yet that's a big part of the show for the fandom, but I'm just not smart enough to be into it, is that the show is sort of filled with riddles, and every episode ends with a cipher to help you look up a riddle. And at the end of the opening credits, there's always like this weird noise, which fans found out is a backwards statement, but every episode has a different one, and people found the backwards statement, and usually it's a joke, but sometimes it's something more having to do with things. Right after the show ended, they made a statue of one of the characters, which I won't say who, and they hid him in the world, like literally hid him in a park somewhere in, I believe, America. And they put a bunch of ciphers around, I think, the last couple episodes and online. And, like, it took the fans 2 days to find the statue. They were worried it was going to be too hard, and fans found it immediately.
Wow. What do you call those people? Like, riddlers or something?
I have no idea.
Puzzle heads?
Yeah. Even the comic book that just came out, which you and I both read, it's called Gravity Falls Lost Legends. There's, like, riddles and stuff in this, too. I think it's very cool that they're in there, because it fits the whole aesthetic of the show. I'd rather just Google what the riddle's answer is than put in the effort to solve it myself.
That's what I was going to say. I'd rather look it up and be like, oh, cool. And then I'll probably text you or my girlfriend to be like, hey, did you know that Alex Hirsch wrote this and then this came up?
Right.
Like, it's a secret.
I'm holding up the comic now. I won't say the character's name, but did you notice that the character is on the back cover there?
No, I did not.
It's you can only see it in blacklight.
When you waved it, actually, right now, you can kind of see a little glimmer.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. And that's the main bad guy. Because the main bad guy is sort of always watching them.
And he's always around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great bad guy, too. Yes. I don't know if we can really talk about that. I thought he was an excellent villain.
We're kind of not talking about him, but talking about him. Do you know that villain, Alex Hirsch, went to David Lynch and said, will you voice him? And David Lynch was like, no thanks. Because the show, I think in some ways, is kind of like Twin Peaks for kids.
Yeah.
But the voice that the character ends up having is sort of a bad David Lynch impression.
When I hear David Lynch, I kind of just think of someone kind of hokey.
Hello.
Yeah, basically, it just sounds like happy to me. Even though it's David Lynch and I've watched his stuff and I watched Twin Peaks.
Have some coffee and donuts. It's a beautiful day here in sunny California.
That's exactly what I hear.
Yes.
But like the villain always has such sort of, I wouldn't say anger, but there is like an ominous kind of sound to his voice that makes you uncomfortable and you're not really sure why.
I think part of what makes the villain interesting is he doesn't sound scary. He sounds happy, which whenever they do that is always more scary.
Yeah.
And like, remember the first time the villain appears, he says something like, reality's an illusion, bye! Like, he's got a really funny, all right, well, we won't say more. Go and watch every episode, then come back and re-listen to this and enjoy it with us.
Yeah, stop at this point. So actually, I had a question for you, another question. What is your take on Gideon?
Oh, Gideon. How did we go this long without talking about Gideon? Gideon is the sort of main human villain. Gideon is a little boy who has a pompadour haircut and is like a televangelist.
We're on the East Coast, so we don't really get this, but in the Bible Belt, there is definitely a trend in the popularity of preachers going from town to town and like putting up a big tent and just like,
okay,
speaking out the gospel. I only heard or read about this, so I've never actually seen it.
Right, right, right.
But I know that's something like in the South. And
I remember
the Bible
from season one of True Detective. they show something like that.
Well, they had an episode, I think there's a Simpsons episode, actually, where Bart goes to one of these things.
Simpsons did it.
And he accidentally fixes somebody's problems. So, like, the preacher decides that he's, like, a healer. So he starts taking Bart around, yeah. And Bart's, like, heals people by doing the same motion.
Right. That's sort of what Gideon's doing, but he's a con man. Grunkle Stan doesn't like Gideon because he feels like he's taking away tourists from his mystery shack. They're sort of villains, even though one's an old man and one's a little boy.
Yeah, there's something really funny about like a 70-year-old man thinking a child is his arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Though Gideon is like all on board. He's like ready to destroy Stan for like no reason.
Yeah, he does some evil shit.
Yeah, he's an evil kid.
And he's in love with Mabel, or he thinks he's in love with Mabel. He's obsessed with Mabel.
Yeah, and that's really what made Gideon so uncomfortable for me. It was like, I don't always want to talk about him. And I don't want to watch episodes where it's just Gideon heavy.
Me too. When I rewatch, I skip the Gideon episodes. There's something about the character that I just don't like.
The thing that really makes him scary for me, and especially with, I watch the show with a friend who's an assault survivor. Uh-huh. So that was what also made it uncomfortable. But what... another level. But what makes Gideon really scary and really in the present time is that he never sort of does stuff that you would think of a predatory. So what he does is, like, he hangs around Mabel and he's very obsessed with her. And Gideon is also, like, a celebrity in the town.
Right. And everyone thinks he's so good. Like, his catchphrase is little old me.
Yeah, he's like little me, and he's like sweet, and everyone thinks he's sweet. So like when they see that he has his arm around Mabel, or like he's going out Mabel feels like, everyone thinks they're an adorable new couple. So like she has to say yes. So Mabel feels like she has to say yes.
Yeah,
and like she never gets to talk to him and be like, I'm not comfortable with this. So like the Gideon episodes are about Mabel being uncomfortable being in this situation, but not knowing how to say no and feeling pressured, but not too forcefully that she has to say yes to him and spend time with him when she doesn't want to.
Right.
Which is literally.
And then he eventually kidnaps her and does some, like, he gets more evil as the show goes on.
He gets more evil when he doesn't get what he wants, because that's all Gideon wants is what he wants.
We've got to wrap up. This has been such a fun episode. This might be a hard question, but I want to end with knowing if you have a favorite episode, or maybe just like a storyline in an episode. My favorite episode is called The Time Traveler's Pig, and it is a really fun time travel episode where there is a fair in Gravity Falls, and Mabel wins a pig by guessing its weight. It's sort of a stupid joke where the man, the carny running it, is like, that's old 15 pounder. How much you think he weighs? And she's like, 15 pounds? And he's like, you must be a witch. She names him Waddles, and then there's Waddles toys out there now. Like, Waddles is a big part of, like, the fandom. Dipper is trying to impress Wendy, and he tries to knock down milk bottles with a baseball. It ricochets off the bottles and hits Wendy in the eye, and she gets a black eye. So through some Gravity Falls nonsense, they find a device that lets them go back in time. And they keep going back in time because Dipper wants to get it right. And every time they go back in time, Dipper fails again at what he's doing and she wins Waddles. But then he finds one way to not have the ball hit Wendy. But in that reality, Mabel can't win Waddles. It's very Stephen Moffat-y. Like, very Doctor Who, 11th Doctor kind of story. It's very, like, the kind of fun, or even, like, something like Back to the Future 2. It's a very fun, like, time travel story of, like, we're going to keep showing you the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, with slight differences. I actually really enjoyed that episode, too. I also love that, I appreciate that Waddles is just, like, a regular animal.
Yes.
In this weird universe. Like, when I first watched it, I was expecting him to be, like, super intelligent.
And speak and stuff.
And, yeah, which they do in a throwaway episode when they're doing kind of, like, what if kind of storyline.
Yes.
Where he's voiced by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes!
So, like, the storyline is, like, Dipper invents this magic goo to make him smarter because he just wants to be smarter. But Waddles the pig eats all the goo.
Right.
So he becomes super intelligent. And of course, when he's super intelligent, he's voiced by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Of course.
Throughout the episode, Neil deGrasse Tyson as the pig is like pontificating on the universe and all this like really deep stuff, but then he'd be like, and I will invent this machine that feeds me potatoes, delicious, warm potatoes. It's just like, why is he saying this? It's like, delicious potatoes. And I'm like, they just needed him to say that.
Yeah, we're like, what can we get this astrophysicist to say?
Yeah, so I think it's actually split between the two anthology episodes. We have this one where Grunkle Stan is telling these stories.
Yeah.
And the other episode where all three characters and Seuss falls into a pit.
A bottomless pit.
So the entire episode, they're just falling. It doesn't go anywhere. So they just like, well, I guess we're just going to fall forever. So why don't we tell each other stories? And yeah. They just tell stories of like what ifs.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the best what if episodes of any series.
What ifs are so fun because it allows you to play in any way that you want and not have to keep it up. It's kind of like what people like about the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episodes. You get to play with the characters and do anything, but none of it has to stick or be canon.
Yeah, which is what I really appreciate about them. But I also like that it was a Gravity Falls twist on the what if. Is like they're falling in a bottomless pit and all the characters just accept that they're like, oh well, I guess we're just gonna fall yes. forever, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And then at the end it's like they actually do end, but the bottomless pit drops them right next to the bottomless pit.
Well, like it looks like there's a hole that they're gonna fall through, and then you see like it's like they were spit back up through it. Like it's like a weird, yeah. it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't want to make sense. Similar to like one of my favorite supernatural creatures is the multi-bear, is because it just doesn't make sense and it doesn't want you to try to understand it.
It's just a joke.
It just exists. It's a joke. Get over it.
Nadia, Cater, thank you for coming on the show again. I want the listeners to watch the show and then get at me on Instagram. I want to know what your favorite monster is. I want to know what your favorite episode is. Let's fan out together.
And also, tell me if you think Lundy's a lesbian or not. Someone fight me on this, please.
It makes sense to me. This has been Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Buongiorno. This is my guest, Nadia Cater. You can subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We've got a Instagram, and we have a Tumblr, but I'm not that good at it yet. So we're all over. Thank you so much for listening. Nadia, do you want to go bye-bye?
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.